That's good.
Oh, yes.
Okay, Gary.
I have a question.
Well, I'm so glad you're here today. We're going to get in the Word of God in just a minute. And once again, we've got to prepare our hearts because the Word of God is powerful. It is mighty. As we take in the Word of God, we know we're going to be transformed because we don't want to leave here the same person, do we? Every time we hear the Word of God, we know we're transformed. We're going to experience the Word, the presence of God manifesting in our hearts, in our souls, in our spirit. As we take it in, we know He's changing us inside out. Amen?
Amen.
And we know it's all about Him. So why don't we go ahead and bow our hearts. Let's start off with a word of prayer. Let's pray. Father God, we come into Your holy presence and we seek after You. Because where You are, there is an abundance of Your love, Your peace, and Your joy. And we ask You now, Lord, as Your holy presence is here in great abundance, we're going to receive from You and we're going to know, Lord, the abundant life that You promised us will be for us. We're going to embrace it and we're going to say, thank You, Lord, knowing that You do all this for us because of Your mighty, awesome love for us. So the only thing we can say is, Lord, thank You. And we give You praise. We give You glory. We give You honor. It's in the powerful name of Jesus Christ we pray all these things. And everyone says,
amen.
Amen. Praise God and praise God. Well, today the title of my sermon is Amazing, the Amazing One. Well, first of all, if you don't have sermon notes, you can raise your hand and Lawrence will make sure that you'll get one in your hands. Just raise your hand if you don't have any sermon notes. There's Rena with the notes. All right.
I lost my, sorry.
Okay. So the title of my sermon is Amazing, the Amazing One. Amazing, the Amazing One. You know, just the other day, I was reading on the internet about this poll which simply asked this question. What amazes you? And you know what? Here are some of the most popular answers. One person wrote, what amazes me is the fact that people manage to make the same mistakes over and over without seeming to learn from experience. Another person wrote, it amazes me that China has more English speakers than the United States. Another person wrote, it amazes me that most lipsticks contain fish scales. I didn't know that. That's pretty interesting. Another person wrote, honest and friendly people amazes me because there are so few of them. And then another person wrote, it amazes me when a parent smacks a child for their bad behavior and then yells at them for crying. Wow. And then another person wrote, what amazes me is the beauty of God's creation. I think I like that one the best. But here's the thing. Whatever amazes you, hey, it could be good or bad, but the amazement comes because, hey, you're kind of going, wow. And here's a definition of the word amazement. A state of extreme surprise or wonder. Astonishment. So another word for amazement is, if that's a word. You're like astonished. Go, oh. If you're local, you say, oh, right? But the word amazed, did you know it occurs 31 times in the Gospels? Usually describing the response of crowds to our Lord Jesus Christ. And the question is, what is it about our Lord Jesus Christ that creates such a wonder and astonishment of who He is? Are you still amazed by our Lord Jesus Christ? After all, we sing those Christian songs, right, that really show how amazed we are of Him. You probably heard of this song. It's called How Marvelous. I want to read to you the lyrics here. It goes, I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene, and I wonder how He could love me, a sinner condemned, unclean. Oh, how marvelous, oh, how wonderful, and my song shall ever be, how marvelous, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me. And another song you probably know is called what? Amazing Grace. Who is this grace from? Our Father God. And it says with the song, Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. And you know, as you read the Gospels, you can almost picture in your mind these crowds, they're surrounding Jesus because they're amazed with what is coming out of the mouth of Jesus, the very words that seem to give them life. And everything Jesus said probably left them with their jaws just dropped down. Wow, did you hear what he just said? And they're probably rubbing their eyes as they witness the miracles that are coming forth. And as Jesus did something, they were amazed. Then he said something else, they were now utterly amazed. And today I'd like to talk about what amazed those crowds, and then I'm going to talk about what amazed Jesus Christ. Well, look at your notes. Number one here says, what amazed the crowds? Well, letter A says, they were amazed at his teaching. You can put in the blank, teaching. Look what it says in Matthew 7, 24 to 29. This is what Jesus says. Anyone who listens to my teaching and follows it, it is wise. Like a person who builds a house on solid rock. Though the rain comes in and torrents and the flood waters rise and the winds beat against that house, it won't collapse because it is built on bedrock. But anyone who hears my teaching and doesn't obey it is what? Foolish, like a person who builds a house on sand. When the rain and floods come and the winds beat against that house, it will collapse with a mighty crash. When Jesus had finished saying these things, the crowds were amazed at his teaching. For he taught with real authority, quite unlike the teachers of the religious law. I want you to just imagine that kind of response from a person's first sermon. Because you know what? This is Jesus' first sermon. And the crowds, they were what? Amazed. And you kind of wonder, why were they so amazed? Because after all, it all started when Jesus, it tells us in the book of Matthew, he saw a crowd gathering, and he decided to go up a certain mountainside where he would preach the word of God. And this would be his very first sermon. And it all began in Matthew chapter 5, where he preaches and teaches about the Beatitudes. Remember the Beatitudes? That's where he starts off. And then he talks about anger, adultery, revenge, about loving your enemies, just to name a few of the things he talked about. All known as what? The Sermon on the Mount. You guys heard of that, right? You know, there's a pastor, his name is Dr. E. Stanley Jones. He's a Methodist missionary and pastor. And once he described his first sermon, he told his congregation about the very first time he preached. Let me read what he says here. He writes, "The little church was filled with my relatives and friends, all anxious that me, the young pastor, should do well. I had prepared for 3 weeks. I started on rather a high key, and after a half dozen sentences, I used a word I had never used before, and I have never used since. The word is indifferentism." I'm not sure if that's even a word, right? "Whereupon a college girl smiled and smirked and put down her head. Her smiling so upset me that when I came back to the main point of my sermon, it was gone. My mind was absolute blank. I stood there clutching for something to say. Finally, I blurted out, 'I'm sorry, but I've forgotten my sermon.' And I started for my seat in shame and confusion." What if I did that? "Oh, sorry, I forgot my sermon. You guys can go home." Wow, can you imagine that? Then he goes on, "As I was about to sit down, the inner voice," you know what the inner voice is, that's the Holy Spirit. "The inner voice said, 'Haven't I done anything for you? If so, can't you tell I'm here for you right now?' And he says, 'I responded to this suggestion, and I stepped down in front of the pulpit, and I felt like I didn't belong behind it. And I said, friends, you can see that I can't preach. But you know that I have found Christ, and you have seen what he has done for my life, how he has changed me, and though I cannot preach, I shall be his witness the rest of my days.'" He says here, "At the closing of the service, a young lad came up to me, obviously touched by what I had shared, and he said he wanted what I found. He wanted Jesus." And today, this young man, he's a pastor, and his daughter is a missionary in Africa. And the whole point of this is, we know when God speaks through us, it is mighty. It is powerful. It's not the man. It is the Holy Spirit, God Himself, that gives us word to give us life. Amen?
Amen?
We do not look at the man. We look at God speaking through the man. And His words will give you exactly what you need to live victoriously. Amen?
Amen.
And here's the thing. Most pastors, they will admit that they probably had trouble with their first sermon. And I got to be honest with you. I remember my very first sermon. I was like a nervous wreck. I was sweating. I was stuttering. I'm just wondering, man, am I going to put everybody to sleep? Why would anybody want to listen to me? And I remember I went to my wife, I don't know if I can do this. And I was like shaking like a leaf, I tell ya. But I have to really make you understand that when you realize that it is God that uses your life, He speaks through you, you know that whatever comes out of your mouth, it's going to be powerful. It's going to be mighty because your heart has surrendered to God and you have told God, not me, but all you. That's what God wants to hear from us. When He knows that our heart is saying, it's all you, Lord. Guess what? It will become all Him. But here's the thing. Just think about this. Jesus, the carpenter of Nazareth, because that's what He was by trade. He was a carpenter. He left His woodworking shop. He hung up his carpenter's apron and his toolbox, and with his first public utterance, his first public sermon, guess what? It is known as the greatest sermon the world has ever heard. How can that be? How can it be that his very first sermon is the greatest sermon the world has ever heard? Well, we know, first of all, the Bible tells us Jesus is the Word, isn't He? Who knows the Word better than the Word Himself? So we know that's why people are amazed. When He spoke, people listened. People know He spoke from the heart. People knew that He spoke with authority. And here are other accounts where the people were truly amazed with Jesus' teaching. Look what it says in Matthew 13, 53 to 55. Look what it says there. When Jesus had finished these parables, He moved on from there. Coming to His hometown, He began preaching and teaching the people in their synagogue, and they were amazed. Where did this man get this wisdom and these miraculous powers, they asked. Isn't this the carpenter's son? Isn't his mother's name Mary? And aren't his brothers James, Joseph, Simon, and Judas? In this case, the people knew who He was. They knew Jesus to be a simple, humble carpenter who now spoke with great authority from heaven. And in their mind, they're thinking, how can it be a simple man like this speaking with great authority, speaking with great heart? They were thinking, this man that we know isn't who we thought he was. That's why they were so amazed. Look what it says in 1 Corinthians 1:27. It says here, instead, God chose things the world considers foolish in order to shame the wise, those who think they are wise. And it says, and He chose things that are powerless to shame those who are powerful. And we knew Jesus Himself. It says, the Bible tells us, yet He is equal with God. He did not consider Himself to be this. He says, I come to serve, not to be served. Can you just understand the great humility our Lord Jesus Christ had? That's what we have to understand. That's why people were so amazed. He had a humility like no other. And I can attest to this with my own life. And I know you heard me say this before, but man, you know, if you knew me from like high school and college days, you know, you knew that I was extremely quiet and shy. I hardly said anything. I mean, I was probably the shyest person you would ever met. I'm serious. And my friends often have told me, you know, they would say, Man, a lot of times we forget that you're in the room. You're so quiet, you know, and they would just talk on and on. I would just sit there in the corner and I would not say a single word. That's how I was. And a lot of times it had to do with fear, had to do with some anxieties and low self-esteem. I tell you the truth. And I didn't like to talk at all. And I was pretty much known as a simple guy with simple thinking. And in a lot of ways, I have to tell you, I'm still pretty much shy and quiet. And I consider myself to be a simpleton. But when you get started about talking about our Lord Jesus Christ, about our Father God, oh, that's when I get excited. Oh, that's when it's like my mouth just starts going. It starts going before I even start opening my mouth. It just starts going. And I can't stop talking about the goodness of our Lord God. Because, you know, I've gone through experiences. I've gone through situations where I really thought, you know, this is the end of my life. I have no reason to live. I have come to a point where I just said, what's the sense? Then I cried out to God, and God showed me His holy presence. God showed me that His hand is upon my life. And that's why I'm so passionate about the Word of God. I've seen what the Word of God can do when people have taken hold of the Word of God. And they said, I'm going to live it. Oh, I've seen the miracles that have happened. People have given testimony time and time again of what the Word of God can do. It's up to us, though. Are we truly going to embrace the Word of God and live it? Because just knowing the Word of God is not enough. You must live it. You must do as it says. And you will have the abundant life. Amen? Because God promises this. Promises it. And you know, I got to tell you, I remember at the park, that's where we also have our church service. I remember a couple of my childhood friends, they came. After a long time, you know, after years of inviting them to church, they kept on refusing. And then I said, you know what? I'm preaching at this church. Will you come? And they agreed. And I remember, this just so happened that day, I was just so filled with the Holy Spirit. I knew God was just speaking through me. And I was so filled with zeal, so much excitement. I just went on. I was just like dancing up, you know, at the pulpit. I was just praising God. And I remember one of them, they went to my wife afterwards. And they asked her, hey, what happened to Ben? That's not the Ben we know. Did you do something to him? What happened to him? And you know what Dominique told them? God happened to him. God had taken a hold of my life. And I said, my life is not my own anymore, Lord. It's all yours. And I got to tell you, you may look at me and you go, oh, this guy is just filled, pumped up with so much excitement. And it looks like he's just ready to just go on and just preach the Word of God. Well, you know what? I have to tell you, I told some of you this before. You may think, oh yeah, when I come up here, I'm so bold and I'm so confident. No, I'm not. I'm still shaking. I'll tell you the truth. But I cry out to God. Before I come up here, I'm crying out to God. I say, Lord, you wanted me to be up here. I'm just doing what you're telling me to do. I need you, Lord. I need you. I want to decrease, Lord. Increase more, Lord. So the people will truly see Jesus Christ in me. That's what it's all about. It's not about us. It's about God in us that brings forth His Word, that brings forth His power. Amen?
Amen.
Well, here's another account. Look at Matthew 22, 15 to 22. It says here, then the Pharisees met together to plot how to trap Jesus into saying something for which he could be arrested. They sent some of their disciples along with the supporters of Herod to meet with him. And this is what he said to Jesus. Teacher, they said, we know how honest you are. You teach the way of God truthfully. You are impartial and you don't play favorites. Now tell us, what do you think about this? Is it right to pay taxes to Caesar or not? But Jesus knew their evil motives. You hypocrites, he said. Why are you trying to trap me? Here, show me the coin used for the tax. When they handed him a Roman coin, he asked, whose picture and title are stamped on it? Caesar's, they replied. Well then, he said, give to Caesar what belongs to Caesar, and give to God what belongs to God. And here's what it says. Look what it says there. His reply amazed them. and they went away. And the teachers of the law were amazed with Jesus because they knew he wasn't afraid to speak the truth, that he would speak what needed to be spoken, and he was bold about it. And Jesus also didn't give in to flattery, because this is what they said: "Teacher, we know how honest you are. You teach the way of God truthfully. You are impartial. You don't play favorites." And you know, sometimes people will do that to try to flatter you, try to trick you, right? But they were amazed that Jesus didn't give in to the flattery. And we are not to give in to flattery also, when you know that it is not real. When people say things about you, trying to take advantage of you, you know, the Holy Spirit will show it to you. Remember, always point to God. I know people come up to me and say, "Oh, Pastor, you did such an awesome job with the sermon." I said, "Hey, give the glory to God, because the Holy Spirit gave it to me. I don't want any fingers to point at me." I said, "Yo, you give it to God, because I want God to be given all the glory." And I got to tell you, when you move in that kind of heart, that kind of spirit, God just continually fills you up. You're overflowing of God's wisdom. You're overflowing of God's goodness. Amen?
Amen.
And that's what it takes. Don't give in to flattery. And the other thing is, he already knew what was in the hearts of these people. He knew what their true motive was. And I got to tell you, the Holy Spirit in us will also reveal that to us. That is called discernment. It will help you to discern what is real or not real. Because he's going to alert to you who are the ones that are trying to take advantage of you. The ones that don't have the real heart to really say, you know, what is truth. Amen?
Amen.
And we got to listen to that. We got to know that the Holy Spirit will show that to us. Look what it says in 2 Timothy 4, 2-3. It says, "Preach the word of God. Be prepared whether the time is favorable or not. Patiently correct, rebuke, and encourage your people with good teaching. For a time is coming when people will no longer listen to sound and wholesome teaching. They will follow their own desires and will look for teachers who will tell them whatever their itching ears want to hear." And here's the thing. Clearly, Jesus spoke what needed to be spoken. And people knew this was sound teaching. There was nothing off about it. Because we got to be careful. The Bible tells us in the last days there will be false teachers. Teachers that will tell you what you want to hear. And we hear about preachers saying, "Oh, you're not a sinner. You're all good." Is that what the Bible tells us? No, the Bible says we are sinners. We have fallen. Yes, but God has made a way. He has made a way through his Son, Jesus Christ. That's the truth. That's why it's so important. You must know the word. You must get in the word. So when people come to deceive you, you'll know, "Oh, this does not sound right." The Holy Spirit will alert it to you because the word is already in your heart and in your mind. And you will know this is not the truth. You know, in his book, written by Chuck Swindoll, you guys know Chuck Swindoll, right? He's a famous a Christian author. He wrote about the life of Job. And he addresses Job's reaction to his wife's plea. You remember what his wife said when he was going through all the trouble and all that hardship? "Curse God and die." Imagine your spouse saying that to you. "Curse God and die." But rather than saying, "Oh, great idea." No, Job had a very different response. Rather than saying, "Great idea." No, you know what he said? He says, this is in Job 2:10, and this is the Message translation. I like what it says here. He says to his wife, "You're talking like an empty-headed fool. We take the good days from God. Why not also the bad days?" And we can see this is a sign of maturity from Job. You know, after suffering such a great, terrible ordeal, he still would be thinking so clearly, so correctly, without wavering. He had no uncertainty. He knew that God was for him. And the man did not entertain her suggestion, not even for a moment. And how did Job do it? What was it that made him stay on track? Well, I know it's not a nice thing to call your wife a fool. But basically, he's saying, no, we are to continue to praise God. And here's the thing. He was grounded in the knowledge of God. And in order for us to be grounded in the knowledge of God, we must stay in it. And I tell people this. If you don't stay in the Word of God, it's so easy to get off track. Every day, you must crack open that Bible. Start reading it and ask the Holy Spirit to reveal to you what you need to learn from these verses. Ask the Holy Spirit to show you how are you going to live it. That is so important. When you do this, you're going to find yourself maturing in the things of God. You're going to be so hungry for the Word of God. And you're going to desire it. And you can't wait to open that book, that Bible, and see what the Holy Spirit has to show to you. Because in times like that, sound theology is invaluable. You will have sound theology. You will never go off track. If you're in the Word, you're always going to the Holy Spirit to ask for understanding. Your theology will always be sound. Because theology means the study of God, right? Your theology will always be sound if you know it, if you always embrace it. You know, Swindoll then recalls a famous Peanuts cartoon. You know Peanuts, right? With Charlie Brown and stuff. And he writes here. He says, Linus is with his blanket and he's standing at the picture window in the family room. And standing beside him is Lucy, who of course is in charge. And they're watching it rain and it's coming down in sheets. They can hardly see the trees in the backyard. And Lucy sighs. My, look at all this rain. If this keeps up, it's going to flood the whole earth. And Linus quickly replies, oh, that will never happen. It says in Genesis 9, 7 to 17, that God will never again flood the earth. Well, Linus is a smart boy, huh? And he's put a rainbow in the sky to prove that his promise is true. And Lucy looks at him and says, oh, you're taking a big load off of my mind. And Linus responds immediately, sound theology has a way of doing that. You know what Linus is saying? When you know the Word of God, you're not going to go off track. It will always give you peace that you need. It will always give you the strength that you need because you know these are promises from God. So it's so important that we must know the Word of God. And as we know the Word of God, we're going to live it. And we're going to see what changes God will do when we truly know that the Word of God gives us life. Amen? Well, these are only a few examples. I got to tell you, there's story after story of various groups being amazed with our Lord Jesus Christ's ministry. Well, I want you to look at letter B now. What else were the people amazed with? They were amazed with his miracles. They were amazed, right in that blank, with his miracles. Look what it says in Matthew 9, 27 to 33. It says here, after Jesus left the girl's home, two blind men followed along behind him, shouting, Son of David, have mercy on us. They went right into the house where he was staying, and Jesus asked them, do you believe I can make you see? Yes, Lord, they told him, we do. Then he touched their eyes and said, because of your faith, it will happen. Then their eyes were opened, and they could see. Jesus sternly warned them, don't tell anyone about this. But instead they went out and spread his fame all over the region. When they had left, a demon-possessed man who couldn't speak was brought to Jesus. So Jesus cast out the demon, and then the man began to speak. The crowds were amazed. Nothing like this has ever happened in Israel, they exclaimed. First of all, I want you to take note that Jesus did not heal the blind men. Right away. How do we know this? Because it says in the scriptures that they were following behind him. Because if Jesus healed them right away, he would have turned, you know, back to them and would say, okay, I'm praying for your healing right now, that you be healed right now through the power of God. No, it says here they were following behind him, and Jesus went to a house, and they followed him into the house where he was staying. And people kind of wonder about this. Why did Jesus wait? Why didn't Jesus heal them right away? And, you know, most biblical scholars believe it was probably because Jesus was waiting for their faith to increase. And that's what we got to understand. Because Jesus, he wants our whole heart, right? In order for Him to know that our whole heart belongs to Him, sometimes it's our faith that is something that He knows that we are truly giving our whole life over to Him. It's our faith. So He was probably waiting for these two men's faith to increase. And that's why it's so important. When you say you believe that Jesus can do it for you, man, let it be your whole heart that says, I know I have received this. And as you move in that kind of faith, God says, oh, whatever you ask, it shall be done. That's what it takes. You got to have that kind of big size faith. And here's the other thing. Jesus told them not to tell anyone about this. And people wonder, why is it that Jesus told them not to tell anyone about this great miracle, about this great healing? Well, commentators have written that it's probably because Jesus didn't want it just to be seen as a miracle worker. Because think about this. If it was a case that, oh, Jesus can heal you, Jesus can do this for you. You know, I hate to say this, but a lot of people, they come, they expect the healing, they want the healing. But as you say, okay, can I lead you into sinner's prayer that you will come to a relationship with Jesus Christ? They said, no, that's not for me. I just want to be healed. In other words, they want the miracle, but they don't want the Savior. I said, man, you know what's more important than anything? More important than your healing? The very fact that God has your heart. That God has healed your heart. That you will become spiritually alive in Christ. That's what's most important. But yet, I met people, they said, I just want the healing. I want to be healed of my disease. And then I can go home and do whatever I want. I said, no, God wants your heart. And that's where we have to understand, God, He's more concerned with our spiritual healing than our physical healing. He wants us to be healed from the inside, starting with our hearts. And then the other point is, they were amazed because this was the first time miracles, it says in the scripture, the first time that miracles had happened in Israel. And I'm sure, because it says that, right? It says it's the first time it happened in Israel. They probably heard of other miracles that have happened through the power of God. And now it's happening here in Israel. And that's why they were so amazed that God sent His Son to walk on this planet Earth. And He was letting miracles happen all over the place in Israel. Can you just imagine the amazement of the people knowing that it was happening in their own hometown? And I have to tell you, sometimes we hear about the presence of God so strong in the city, in our town, you know, and the people are just so excited and so filled with zeal. I got to tell you, knowing that God is with us, I mean, you know, it's good that we can, you know, witness these miracles and the power of God, but no, the love of God is in you. It's not so much about all these miracles and all that. Know that God has saved you from eternal death. That you will spend eternity in His house. When this life passes away, we have eternity to hold on to. We're going to experience constant joy, constant peace forever in the house of the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
And that's where we can just have that constant joy, knowing that God is for us. God will never let us down. That God, He's going to continue to shower us with greater and greater blessings. Look what it says in Matthew 15, 29-31. It says here, Jesus entered to the Sea of Galilee and climbed a hill and sat down. A vast crowd brought to Him people who were lame, blind, crippled, and those who couldn't speak, and many others. They laid them before Jesus, and what does it say there? Jesus healed them all. The crowd was so amazed. Those who hadn't been able to speak were talking, the crippled were made well, the lame were walking, and the blind could see. And what does it say there? And they praised God of Israel. I want you to understand here that Jesus knew in their hearts that they would praise God for these miracles. And that's why it tells us all were healed. And it could be this very fact that sometimes Jesus, you know, He told the people, don't say anything. Because you know what? Jesus wanted them to look at God. Because He is God. He doesn't want them to look at man. Because, yes, He came as a man in the flesh. But He is God. And we've got to remember, when we experience miracles from God, it is God. It's not the pastor or the leader that prayed for you. Remember, they will tell you, if they truly are a man of God, they will say, oh, don't look at me. Look at God. Because God did it for you. Amen? You've got to remember, it is God. You know, I've got to tell you, the Greek word for amazed are composed of two words. Out of and stand. And literally, when you put these two words together, out of and stand, it means to stand outside of oneself. And it's very similar to the phrase. You probably heard of this phrase. He was beside himself. You heard of that, right? And it has the idea of jumping out of your skin to be astonished. Well, can you jump out of your skin? And think about this. If Jesus truly is God in the flesh appearing, wow, you should be amazed. If you know that God is in the flesh appearing, that He appeared as a man. We know He's here. His presence is almighty. It's all powerful. And you know, when we sing that song, I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene. If you really mean that in your heart, man, there should be a stirring in your heart. As you experience the presence of God, oh, you should just leap for joy. You just should just be in constant joy knowing that your Father God has done this for you. That He sent His Son to come here on this earth to suffer and to die for you and for me. Amen? Well, let's look at number two here. We're going to talk about what amazed Jesus now. I'm going to shift gears. I'm going to notice occasions now when the tables are turned. And now we're going to learn about what amazes Jesus Christ. And that's why the title of my sermon is Amazing, the Amazing One. Because who is the amazing one?
Jesus.
We're going to see what amazes our Lord Jesus Christ. Because there's only two times when this word amaze is used to apply to our Lord Jesus Christ. Only two times. And you would expect, right, it would take a lot to amaze the amazing one. But let's look at letter A here. What does it say? It says here, Jesus was amazed at great faith. Jesus was amazed at great faith. I'm going to read here Luke 7, 1-10. I'm going to start with verse 1, and you're going to come in at verse 6, okay? So this is not in your notes yet. Let me read it to you. It says here, when Jesus had finished saying all this to the people, He returned to Capernaum. At that time, the highly valued slave of a Roman officer was sick and near death. When the officer heard about Jesus, he sent some respected Jewish elders to ask him to come and heal his slave. So they earnestly begged Jesus to help the man. If anyone deserves your help, he does, they said, for he loves the Jewish people and even built a synagogue for us. So Jesus went with them. Just in verse 6. It says, but just before they arrived at the house, the officer sent some friends to say, Lord, don't trouble yourself by coming to my home, for I am not worthy of such an honor. I am not even worthy to come and meet you. Just say the word from where you are, and my servant will be healed. I know this because I am under the authority of my superior officers, and I have authority over my soldiers. I only need to say, go, and they go, or come, and they come. And if I say to my slaves, do this, they do it. And when Jesus heard this, what does it say there? He was amazed. Turning to the crowd that was following him, he said, I tell you, I haven't seen faith like this in all of Israel. Another translation says, I haven't seen great faith like this in all of Israel. And when the officer's friends returned to his house, they found the slave, what? Completely healed. And as you look at this, you know, Jesus was probably looking at several things from this offer, sir, that amazed him. Well, first of all, the fact that this person was a Roman soldier, because you got to understand, if you read the scriptures, you know the Roman soldiers often persecuted the Jewish people. And here we have a Roman soldier that is written here that says he loved the Jewish people and he even built a synagogue for them. And you kind of go, wow, why did he do that? Well, we don't know why. But I'm sure that's enough to amaze Jesus. That here's a Roman soldier known for persecuting Christians. And here he loves the Jewish people. Well, secondly, his heart was filled with great humility. And we know this because of the things that he had said. What did he say? He tells his friend to tell Jesus, I am not worthy of such an honor for you to come to my home. He probably meant it because Jesus knew, you know, he knew if this Roman soldier was real or not. And even though he wasn't there, oh, can you imagine? He's saying, oh man, I'm not worthy of this great honor for you to even come to my home. Not even worthy to meet with him. Wow. That is amazing, right? I'm sure Jesus is going, oh, this is humility like I've never seen. And then the soldier believed that God's power was all powerful. You knew, he knew that God's power, he believed that God's power had no limit. Because what did he say? Just say the word and it will be done. And then Jesus said, wow, what great faith. Because I have to tell you, you know, there are times where people tell me, oh, you know, Pastor, I have to follow this program. I know this ministry that I have to follow the program to a T. I got to do exactly what it says. Then I know the miracle will happen. Then I know I will see the results. I want to give an example of this. I remember when I first started the ministry, I know one of the ministries I know God was calling me to was deliverance ministry. So I attended like conferences that talked about deliverance. And I remember I got a booklet, you know, I mean, it was pretty thick of all the different prayers you can pray, all the scriptures, and it would tell you, oh, this is what you must do. You must find a room where it's quiet, and that very specific, very detailed. And I remember I was reading through this, okay, I know, you know, there's a lot of people that need prayers, need deliverance, so I got to read through all this stuff. And I remember one time Johnny and I, we were asked to pray for someone who needed deliverance. I remember me and Johnny, we were there, and we started praying for this this lady. And she was telling us all about her problems and all the demonic stuff she was going through. And then I remember, I was thinking, okay, she was saying something to me that made me remember something that I learned in the conference. So I remember, I said, excuse me, I think I need to go back to my house. I have to get my manual. And I remember I was walking back, because he was across the street, you know, not too far from us. And I was like, what am I doing? I just told the lady, and the family knew too, right? That I'm going back to the house to get a manual. And I came back. I remember the family looking at me. I'm holding this book, right? And then the Holy Spirit just spoke to me. He said, Ben, what are you doing? I said, I don't know, Lord. He said, are you going to trust in the manual? Are you going to trust in me? Close the thing. I said, Lord, I'm trusting in you. Sorry, Lord. And I just put it away. And I remember my wife and I, we prayed for this lady, and she was healed. It's a long story, but let me just make a long story short. She was in a wheelchair for like 13 years. And she got up. She had a walker. She walked around her neighborhood the next day. And it's because of God. We don't need no manual. We just need the Holy Spirit of God to come and bring forth His presence and His power. That's all we need. His power and His presence when we have the faith to believe. Amen?
Amen.
And that's what it's all about. We go with that power and presence of God that He has so readily available for us. Our part is just to believe. Just to have the faith. Amen?
Amen.
Well, look at letter B. It says here, Jesus was amazed at lack of faith. Wait a minute, Pastor. Are you confused? Because you just said that Jesus was amazed with great faith. Now he's amazed at lack of faith? Well, I'm just telling you what the scripture tells us. Let's look at what it says in Mark 6, 1-6, and see what it says here. It says here, Jesus left that part of the country and returned with his disciples to Nazareth, his hometown. The next Sabbath, he began teaching in a synagogue, and many who heard him were amazed. They asked, Where did he get all this wisdom and the power to perform such miracles? Look what it says next in verse 3. Then they scoffed. He's just a carpenter. The son of Mary and the brother of James, Joseph, Judas, and Simon. And his sisters live right here among us. They were deeply offended and refused to believe him. Then Jesus told him, a prophet is honored everywhere except in his own hometown, among his relatives, and his own family. And because of their unbelief, he couldn't do any miracles among them except to place his hand on a few sick people and heal them. And there, that's what it says. And he was amazed at their unbelief. There it is, right there. Can you just imagine this, though? Friends, neighbors, cousins, uncles, aunties, probably the very ones Jesus thought he could count on. He said, if I can count on anybody, it has to be my family, my friends, my neighbors, people that I know, right? They would have to believe that I am God, right? They would have to know that I truly am of God. But no, they were the very ones that were scoffing at him. But here's the thing. There's going to be times where your own family, your friends, whoever they may be, your co-workers, I mean, they're going to laugh at you. Even though others are totally faithless, they don't believe in what you believe, we still got to go out and carry out the plans that God has for our lives. We got to go knowing it's the Holy Spirit in us that will bring forth His miracles, His blessings. And we are not to let what people say to us affect us. Affect us to the point where we go, okay, you know what? I better not. I better be quiet. I better be hushed. I better not be bold about saying about Jesus Christ is Lord in my life. Oh, I better hush. Oh, I better not shame myself. No, you go and do what the Holy Spirit tells you to do. And as you do the work of God, you will be blessed. You do the work of God, God's presence will continually increase. I want to tell you about a man named Hudson Taylor. You probably heard of him. He's a missionary to China, and on one night, a stormy night in Birmingham, England, Hudson Taylor was to speak at a meeting at this church schoolroom, and the hostess assured him, said, you know, Hudson, nobody's going to come tonight because it's such a stormy night. But, you know, Taylor, he just insisted on going. He says, no, I got to be there. I must go even if there is no one but the doorkeeper. And he felt that he knew that this is something he had to do. And, you know, less than a dozen people showed up, but the meeting was marked with unusual spiritual power. And, you know what he says? Half of those that were present became missionaries. Or they gave their children to become missionaries. And the rest were faithful supporters of the China Inland Mission for years to come. Wow. Imagine if he just said, oh, you know what, these people, they're probably not going to come. Imagine what would have been missed out. Sometimes we just got to go. Don't worry about your circumstance. Don't worry about what your family or your friends, whoever, you know, what they say. You know it's the Holy Spirit speaking to you. He's telling you to go. You just go. And you're going to expect something great. You're going to expect something wonderful. Amen? Because God will bring it. And it's just kind of funny when you think about it. It is faith that amazes Jesus, that astonishes Jesus, either in his presence or its absence. In one instance, Jesus found faith where it wasn't expected. And in the other, he didn't find it where it should have been. And both cases amazed Jesus. And you know, Jesus is not impressed with status, wealth, or power, or abilities. You know what Jesus is amazed with? It's when we trust him as we should. And you know what? Here's the funny thing. He's equally amazed when we don't. Here's the thing. Is the Lord Jesus amazed at your great faith in spite of the difficulties you're facing? Or is he amazed at your lack of faith? Think about that one. In spite of the promises that he's given, ask yourself, what is bothering you? Are you trusting in him? Are you resting in his promises? Because, really, you want Jesus to be amazed with us, right? But is it with the great faith that you have? or your lack of faith. Because we have learned to trust Him fully. We want to amaze our Lord Jesus Christ. Because as you do, you know our Father God, He's going to be so pleased with our lives. He's going to let the showers of blessings be poured forth in your life. You know, I recited lyrics to that song several times. How marvelous. I stand amazed. I want to play that song for you right now in the video. I want you to just take it. As you listen to this song, I love the lyrics to this song. And as you take it in, I know Easter is just around the corner, but it really talks about the fact that we truly should be amazed of God's great love for us. He demonstrated that to us by what He allowed to happen with His Son, Jesus Christ. He allowed His Son to suffer and die for us. All right, brother, go ahead.
Singing high. will be my joy through the ages to see.
United in the Spirit of God. We're singing praises to Him. Oh, I'm sure that He's amazed because He knows our hearts truly, truly belong to Him. And I gotta tell you, you know, Easter is just around the corner, and what we do every year is we have baptism, usually on Saturday, the day before Easter. And, you know, yesterday I gave the invitation. I told the people at the park, if you want to be baptized, you know, please sign up. And we have 7 people that have signed up already. And, you know, if you want to be baptized, please, this is the time to do it. Because if you have professed that Jesus Christ is your Lord, and you believe in Him, and you know that you belong to Him, this is the next step. Because you know what baptism is? I usually tell people what baptism is. It's an outward expression of an inward decision you have made for Christ. And you know what? If you truly are amazed with our Lord Jesus Christ, of His most awesome love, you should be willing and wanting just to tell the whole world about the decision you made for Him. And that's what baptism is all about. Telling the whole world, I belong to Christ. I am dead to myself. And I'm alive to Jesus Christ. So if you want to be baptized, please, I've got the booklet right here. You can go ahead and sign up. It's going to be Saturday, the 30th of this month, 4 o'clock. Right, we're going to have our service. Probably going to have a short service, and then we're going to go to the beach and have baptism there. All right? So please, if the Holy Spirit is speaking to your heart about this, please, yeah, this is the time to do it. Because you truly want to tell the whole world, I'm amazed of my Savior's love for me. Amen?
Amen.
Why don't we go ahead and bow our hearts. Let us come before our Father God. Father God, we thank You, Lord. For truly, Your love is amazing. Your presence is amazing. And Lord, we just want to thank You, Lord, knowing that Your love abounds in every way. And we continue to seek Your face. We continue to seek after You with our whole hearts. And I just pray, Lord, as we experience Your great power, as we experience the joy like no other that You give to us so abundantly, I pray our faith will increase. Because we know it is our faith in You, our faith that is great in every way, that is saying, Lord, You can do it all. Nothing is impossible with God. I know this is what You want to hear from us. And You know, as we truly believe that in our heart, You are pleased. And more than that, You are amazed. And we want to amaze You in every way, Father God. We want to amaze You knowing that our faith is that big for You. Now you may be saying, Pastor Ben, you know, I just listened to this sermon and I kind of realized there are times I've been lacking faith. Instead of having the great faith that amazes Jesus, I've been lacking. But now I realize I want to have that kind of faith that will show God I believe in Him with my whole heart. And you're saying, oh, Lord, help me to have this kind of heart. This kind of heart that says, I believe You for anything. Even if you know the Holy Spirit is speaking to you right now, and this is your desire, with our heads bowed, with our eyes closed. Can you say, that's me, Pastor Ben? And I'll pray for you. Can you raise your hand and say, I want that great faith to amaze my Lord Jesus Christ. I want to live constantly a life that amazes my Lord Jesus Christ. Praise God. Anyone else? Hallelujah. Raise your hand and say, that's me, I want to amaze Him. Praise God, praise God. You put your hands down. Let's pray. Father God, you've seen all the hands that were raised. Most importantly, it's the hearts behind those hands saying, Lord, I want to amaze you. I want to amaze you with great faith. I want to believe in you for anything. Because your word says, ask anything in my name and I will do it, says the Lord God of heavenly hosts. I just pray that will be something that's written in my heart, that I know that nothing is impossible with you. Let me have that great faith, Lord. I want to amaze you. Father God, will you just empower my brothers and sisters right now, right here. Let your presence fall upon your children. Oh, as we decrease, Father God, may you increase in every way. We come with a heart that is totally surrendered to you. I thank you, Lord, knowing that you reign supreme, Lord, in our lives. We give our lives as holy sacrifices, holy offerings unto you. Thank you, Lord. We praise you, Lord. Thank you for what you're going to do in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, for some of you, you may be saying, Pastor Ben, I've heard people talking about having a relationship with Jesus Christ, with Father God. What must I do? How do I get started? Well, you can start off by praying a simple prayer, but you must mean it in your heart. And I have to tell you, I know our Father God is listening right now. And if you're hearing from the Holy Spirit, He's nudging at your heart, saying, give your life to me so that I can come in and show you what it means to be a blessed child of God. And if you know the Holy Spirit is tugging at your heart, the Bible says today is the day of salvation. Don't wait, because Jesus wants to come into your heart today. It tells us in the scripture, as you say yes to Jesus, He makes your heart His residence. He will live in your heart. And you're going to experience Him every day for the rest of your life. And until eternity, because He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. And if you're ready to say yes to Jesus, can you simply raise your hand and say, yes, I'm saying yes to Him. I want to receive Him into my life. Praise God. Anyone else? Say, I want to belong to Jesus. Hallelujah. Raise your hand and say, I want my whole life to belong to you. Praise God. Anyone else? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Anyone else? Raise your hand up. I say, that's me, Lord. I belong to you. Praise God. Praise God. All right. You put your hands down. Why don't we pray this prayer out loud? Let's pray together as a family. And if you have raised your hand, pray this prayer from your heart. Because God, He knows. Truly, this is from your heart. You're not going to leave it the same person. As you get in His Word, you're going to be changed from glory to glory. You're going to become like His Son, Jesus Christ. Let's pray this prayer out loud. Let's pray together. Say, Father God,
Father God,
I need you.
I need you.
And I give you praise for who you are.
I believe in you.
And I believe in your Son Jesus Christ. Who died for me on the cross. But on the third day, He rose again. And He lives in my heart. I give you praise for that. And
Father God,
I confess that I'm a sinner.
But your word says,
if I confess of my sins, you are faithful and just
to forgive me of my sins
and cleanse me from all unrighteousness. Cleanse me now, Lord, and make me holy and pure unto you. So now I say this so you can hear me, Father God, and so that everyone can hear me. So that I can hear myself. And so that the devil can hear me. Jesus Christ is my Lord.
Jesus Christ is my Lord.
I live for Him.
I live for Him.
And I live for Him only.
And I live for Him only.
Father God,
Father God,
write my name
in
your book of life.
book of life.
For I give you praise.
Praise.
In Jesus' name I pray. And everyone says,
Amen.
Let's give him a clap, Father. Let's praise our Father God. Let's all stand. Let's give glory to him.